your website, and I might have to be very confusing. The first is talking about the spirit that came centuries ago and that continues to live on the heart. It says, we must understand the nature of this spirit, because without this spirit, karma would never have started, it would never have lasted. We must also grasp the extraordinary signs of this spirit that are evident in those who possess it and give it full expression. Then it goes on to describe spirituality. It will be seen that karma-like spirituality is based only in part on documents. It is above all spirit and life. So it follows that by examining its origins, searching its rules, the lives and writings of the order's great saints, that the soul of karma is revealed, and at the same time, karma-like spirituality is made manifest. No doubt that in this time that you spent at Carmel in Elbridge, you have explored the spirit. You've examined its origins. You've studied the lives and the writings of the order's great saints. You've lived in this community and have found the soul of karma. I would like to share what I believe to be a way to maintain that spirit and life in karma. And it comes not from some great saint, but it actually comes from the secular world. Stephen Covey is the founder of the Covey Leadership Center and the author of the workshop, 7 Habits for Highly Effective People. Now that might seem like a very unusual person to have when you're going to celebrate solemn religious profession as a contemplative cloistered nun. But the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I love habit 2. It says, in order to have habit 2, you have to choose a life center. And he says, the life center is what guides our decisions and what motivates us to act. It drives the choices we have. Habit itself says, begin with the end in mind. So the plan, the design, the layout for who we want to be and what we want to do. The first step, the center of life, that life center. For some people, what guides and what motivates their choices, for some it's work, for some it's pleasure. It can be family, it can be friends, it can be a spouse, it can be possessions, it can be money. You've abandoned all of those as your life center. And like St. Paul, you regard all of them as rubbish, that Christ might be your wealth. So in place of all of those, you've chosen Christ as your life center. And you've chosen poverty, chastity, and obedience as a means to keep Christ as that center. At the diocesan celebration of couples celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, I reminded them that explicitly and implicitly they had to renew those vows that they made to each other every day. They had to renew, no matter what, the taking of the spouse. And I give the same admonition to you. You must daily, sometimes explicitly, always implicitly, choose Christ as the center. And having chosen the life center, the habit itself is to begin with the end in mind. It's obvious when we start a journey, we need to have the end in mind. And that there are many twists and turns and detours, there's rough roads, there's smooth going, but we keep the end in mind. Unless the grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, 100-fold. By choosing to enter into this vow of life, like Elijah, you go to the cave on Mount Carmel, aware of all the lightning, the fire, the wind, and the earthquake all around, to listen to that gentle whisper, to capture the spirit of Carmel. Certainly, your own personal and private prayer and contemplation are absolutely essential. But it's important to realize you do this in community and not by yourself. Your sisters are there to support you, and you are there to support them. And that spirit and that life of Carmel must be yours. We must understand the nature of the spirit, because without the spirit, Carmel would never have started and never have lasted. We must grasp the extraordinary signs of the spirit that are evident in those who possess it and give it its full expression. May that spirit always be with you.